We'd like to thank our sponsors, A&H Provisions. For all of your kosher delicatessen needs, go to kosherdogs.net and 30% off of your first order with promo code MODI. Also, Whites and Luxembourg, the law firm that not only does well, they do good. Whitesandlux.com.
Welcome to Andy's Modi.
And welcome to back here at And Here's Modi. We have a guest in the audience today. Wow, what a schut, what an honor, what an absolute privilege it is to have Eli Beer. Eli Beer, president of United Hatzalah. I could do the intro. I don't need you for this.
Go ahead, take a stab at it.
He started United Hatzalah. And how do I describe to our listeners who don't know? Because we now have listeners who aren't Jewish. And we have Eli, we have Goyim, Gays, and Theys. They're all listed. That's good, huh?
That's good.
Isn't that good? And if they don't know who Eli Beer and United Hatzalah is, it is literally Moshiach energy. It is a volunteer ambulance corps in Israel made up of Jews, Christians, Muslims, Druze, whatever else the cholent of Israel has that volunteer, and they are mobilized in, you know, Israel's not like New York or Texas where you, in ambulances and in mopeds and in water jet skis and whatever way to get to somebody in need, Eli Beer has raised money to make that vehicle happen. Whatever they need, people, you can't even describe what United Hatzalah is. Like, I'll tell you a personal story. My cousin Miro Cohn was in an accident. And she was on the side of the road, not in a dangerous area, just a regular car accident, not a terrorist attack. And by the time she got out of the car, she just looked around and she was more in shock, not from the accident, from how fast the area was surrounded by mopeds and motorcycles and ambulances of United Hatzalah. They got there. She lives in Ramat Hasharon, and she was like on the junction there just to get off the highway. And she said it was unbelievable. That's United Hatzalah. Eli Beer is the front man, the creator, obviously, and the guy. And I you describe yourself as a schnorrer, which I absolutely hate because it's so not what you are.
The super schnorrer.
Super schnorrer. No, it's chas v'shalom. It's. You know, I had to describe what a schnorrer is to Leo.
Uh huh.
When I took my husband to a Jewish event where, you know, outside people are asking for money, just like they don't even ask, they just go, and they just like have wads of cash in their hands and they want you to give them more. Like when we went to the grave in Kerestir.
Yeah.
And that's a schnorrer. You are literally providing people a way to create Mashiach energy. When you go, and he goes all day long to people, besides being an EMT and a medic, a paramedic, chovesh, all the things you are also in charge of making sure there's money. You need cash to make United Hatzalah happen.
So it's all donation based. But you just said something really beautiful before we started taping, and you said we were talking about getting donors, and what did you say?
We talk about, you asked me if I meet us all millionaires.
Oh yeah.
Do you meet only billionaires or also millionaires?
So
and I said, I bet it's people who aren't billionaires that give the most money.
And
well,
Eli,
I think the biggest donors of United Hatzalah, our volunteers who are saving lives and leaving their jobs. Some of them could hardly make meets end, and they take off work to go save people. I have a volunteer, Ophir, who drives a garbage truck in Givat Ze'ev, and in his garbage truck, he has a defibrillator, and he has equipment, and when something happens, he with the garbage truck, he goes to save lives, and he does this all day, 3 or 4 calls a day. He saves lives of babies, of women giving birth. Can you imagine? A woman's on the way to the hospital, she gets stuck in traffic, And the baby's coming out and she feels like she's dying. Like this is the middle of the street. And a garbage truck shows up with Ophir, jumps out with a Hatzela jacket and saves the little baby and her. These are the biggest donors of Hatzela.
I can't explain to you. First of all, when I was in Israel two tours ago,
I don't know if people know that you're one of the biggest celebrities in Israel.
Me?
Yeah. Not everyone, no matter if they speak Hebrew and English, they know who you are. They love your shows. And you are sold out immediately in Israel. You know that.
So you know that this podcast is called And Here's Modi because I'm so used to following speeches like yours. Whenever I do an event for Hatzela, Eli Beer comes on and he will hit you with things that no one in the audience can handle. He gets right where that point is and crosses it. We were at the Republican Jewish Coalition 2 weeks after the attack. Eli gets up there in between Trump and Johnson, whoever, and just literally goes, we went into the nurseries of the kibbutzim and we did not know what head went with which body of the baby. Beat. And here's Modi. That's literally why this podcast is called And Here's Modi. So I follow Eli Beer, but I did two shows for United Hatzela in Israel two years ago. And I said to all the people in the audience, ladies and gentlemen, tonight you have to donate even more because we are lucky enough Eli's not here. His wife front row started cracking up. There's no Eli Beer speech tonight. You really know how to get into their hearts. The work you do is Mashiach energy. It's insane.
So can I back up a second? When did Hatzela start and how did you start it and why did you start it? I'm assuming that there's an ambulance service, maybe I'm wrong, in Israel the way that there is in the States.
Well, I started in Israel. Hatzela here started by other people, Herschel Weber and other great people who started here before United Hatzela. So I started when I was 16 years old in Yerushalayim. I used to sit in the back of an ambulance to volunteer. And I was always pushed towards the medicine. I always wanted to be a doctor. That's what always interests me. I was a terrible student. I learned in cheder in a yeshiva.
Yeah.
Thrown out of school every day. So I knew a doctor I'm not going to be. A patient I could. But I actually volunteered in the back of an ambulance. And I used to see motorcycles passing us to deliver pizza and burgers. And I said to myself, we're stuck in traffic to save someone who's not breathing. And if that pizza guy is going to get to his destination, the pizza is going to be hot. When we get to our destination, the patient's going to be cold. And nothing makes sense. I said, we need to change things around. I told my friends, if I have a choke, don't call for an ambulance, call for a pizza. These guys are coming fast.
It's so true. By the way, so we have that in common too. I got my ENT license when I was 17 years old in the Five Towns. I loved it. I worked. My mom didn't let me work on an ambulance. She said, "You're not flying through the streets in an ambulance." But I worked in the ER, and then throughout college, I worked at Cornell on 68th Street. I was an ENT. I was a emergency room technician, and then I worked in the surgical unit too. I could never go to medical school. I couldn't do I can't read. I literally can't read. I literally can't read. I mean, and that chemistry, oh my God, if it wasn't for the Asian kids next to me, I would have failed all those classes. So it was. But
I graduated from cheder when I was 12 years old. I finished school.
That was it.
I went to work, and then when I was 15, I went to volunteer in an ambulance, and I loved it. It was the greatest feeling in the world to help people, but I realized we don't save people. We're actually in the back of an ambulance helping people, but if someone calls for help for choking, it takes us 17, 18 minutes to get there. That person's dead.
Yep.
And we used to say, we should call Chevra Kadisha, like the burial society, because they're going to get there and do better help than we do. And that's where the idea to get my friends to start a group of volunteers that we will arrive to scenes in 90 seconds. That's the whole idea of United Cellar. Yeah. 90 seconds.
Wow.
So we had on the podcast before, and this is insane that I'm doing this comparison right now. And this is pushing it. So when I did the shows for Hutsala, first of all, I'll tell you one thing that was hysterical. We died. The show was supposed to be in Ranana. Mm-hmm. And the theater got shut down because of some fire code. Mm-hmm. But they called us and we're at the pool at 2:30. We're sitting at the pool in Kapinski. And, hey, Modi, the theater is closed down. We have to move everything to Kfar Saba. Leo, of course, is ready to just explode. Mm-hmm. His head, could just pop his head right off. They did it. You forget that this is a volunteer ambulance service. They pulled it together in seconds. Uh-huh. The show went on in Kfar Saba as if nothing happened. But I got to work with the volunteers. They become the production managers. Uh-huh. They become backstage hands. They become everything.
Yeah.
They all have this little phone on them. I can't tell you how this technology is so amazing. The only way I can compare it, when an accident happens, it's Lahavdil. It's like Grindr. The gay, you know what Grindr is, do you? Yeah. It's the gay dating site where you can just log in and see whatever gay is in the area.
But it's like location-based.
So literally, while the guy's telling me, how do you want the monitors on the stage? He's getting a beep. He says to me, Rechov Yishayahu, is somebody having a heart attack? Three guys are on their way. That's it. It's literally the Hutsala thing. The Hutsala app that the volunteers have is like the Grindr of paramedics. Is that too much? Is that crazy? Wait, right. That's
now you have right. A new tagline.
My God. You know what Grindr is, do you?
Huh? Join us now.
What?
We may now have a lot more volunteers join us now.
Probably. Yeah. That's so funny.
I once laughed because they had a funny video going out about finding a meal for Shiva. You know, like people hungry, you go to a Jewish Shiva app to find the closest Shiva you can have a meal because they all serve food there. It's like a funny joke about the Jews always serving food in Shiva so you can always eat. Like it was always, now it's a new, I didn't know about the Grindr thing. So
now you know. You come here, you learn something.
So while the guy's helping me set the monitors up on stage, his phone rings or whatever that device you guys have, and he's looking at it, and he says to me, somebody's having a cardiac event on Rehov Allenby and whatever, and then he sees that three people are on their way, much closer than he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing technology.
It's our technology.
90 seconds or less. That's exactly. Unbelievable.
And I'll tell you something, the technology we developed over the years, we started before iPhone exists, so we put lots of our resources, the money we raise goes a lot of it to advance the response by having better technology. We could know within 2 seconds where the patient is. So for instance, if someone calls us in the highway and he says, I am in an accident, my children are in the car, I need help. Where are you? I don't know where I am. Don't worry about it. We'll know where you are. We send them a link and within 2 seconds, not only we see where they are, the exact location, we see what's going on around them because their phone of the person calling us opens up their camera so we could see the situation and tell this person, okay, go to your kids, do this and this, you know, stop the bleeding here and do this. So we turn the people actually to Hutsala volunteers on the spot. And then the same exact time, the volunteers get to call. Zero bureaucracy. We don't like, you call sometimes 911 for 10 minutes. Oh, so what does she take for medicine? What is she allergic to? Who cares? A kid, she's choking now. What do you ask me about allergic reactions? This is Hutsala.
It's so Jewish.
It's so true, right?
We actually broke all bureaucracy and United Hutsala was built with chutzpah. And this is what I'm very proud of. Israel invented chutzpah, which is the greatest innovation ever. We don't take no as an answer, and you know that.
Yeah.
That's why we had the show 2 minutes after in another place. And we said, no bureaucracy, no nothing. When we were starting, the ambulance service of Israel said, we're not going to share calls with you. We're not allowed to share calls. If you're not wearing our uniform, if you're not in our ambulances, we said, but we are local. We want to save lives until you guys show up. And they said, no way, we're not going to do that. So, okay, don't worry, I'll manage on my own. And I told this guy, the head of the union, of the ambulance services, he says, he started laughing. How are you going to get the calls? I said, don't worry. I said, I have some money left over from my work and my bar mitzvah. I came to America the greatest store every child liked. You probably did too. It was called Radio Shack.
Oh, yes.
I went into Radio Shack in Brooklyn. I bought a bunch of these walkie-talkie scanners. And I broke it into pieces so they don't catch me in customs in Israel. I brought them back to Israel. I was 16 years old. I opened an underground, you know, national center that we could hear the ambulances dispatching their ambulances. They didn't know we're listening in. And that's how we started.
When a car accident does happen and Hatzala and Magen David Adom both show up, what's the protocol?
We work together beautifully. I mean, our job is really to fill in the gap between the emergency happening until they show up.
Okay.
So if we show up and they show up, we work together and we usually give the patients to Magen David Adom to transport. We work with them hand in hand and together with every ambulance service in Israel. 100 ambulance services in Israel, more than 100 are working today. We work with everyone. We're not there to replace their ambulance services. Our job is to come and be the first ones on the scene.
Yeah.
Not only to save their lives, but actually prevent brain damage.
You know, I had dinner with Gilad Erdan, the UN representative. And when we had dinner, your name came up somehow. And one of the proudest things he said was that he helped you become, helped your organization.
Yeah. I mean, Gilad Erdan is amazing. By the way, I never expect him to be such a great UN ambassador because he was a great Knesset member and a minister. He was a cabinet member.
Yep.
But I didn't know he had such good English. I heard him speak just yesterday.
Speaks great.
He's unbelievable. And Gilad Erdan understood the value of Hatzala. And when Magen David Adom, of course, they were the national ones. They were the monopoly. They were really the monopoly. They said to him, no way, don't allow them to be a official organization in Israel. He said, I don't care. These are the guys who are going to change Israel. Yeah. And he was the first one to recognize United Hatzala as a national registered official EMS organization in Israel, the second one in Israel, and the only second one. And so what happened was, October 7th, I give a lot of credit to Gilad Erdan because if it wasn't for United Hatzala, hundreds of people wouldn't have been alive, addition to the ones who died. So the Gilad Erdan has in my heart a very special spot, and I'm happy you say that.
Yeah, he was proud because one of his like accomplishments like is that he helped out United Hatzala. The stories you have are unimaginable, never mind unbelievable, even before October 7th and currently, and the heightness of what could be happening. This podcast is recorded 3 days after Iran's
attack.
Iran's 4th of July event where the Iron Domes protected us and Ellie actually brought an Iron Dome. Can we just, those of you who are watching this on, this is the top of an Iron Dome. This is what's saving Israeli, Jordanian, Assyrian lives when things are fired from Iran. And how did you get that here?
How did you get that through customs?
So first of all, you know me. Nothing could stop me, right? So it fell right next to us October 7th. It actually saved. This is 10 times longer.
Right.
But this is the tip of the Iron Dome. This is half of the tip. It opens up and blows up the bad missile. This is a good missile.
Okay.
This is a $50,000 missile that blows up a $200 missile.
Wow.
It's unbelievable what Israel spends. You should just know, and I'm sure you read, protecting Israel 3 days ago from Iran cost $1 billion. But thank God no one got killed. Think about it. Iran planned this for years to attack Israel one day with the greatest missiles they built.
Yeah.
I guess they're better in food than missiles, so they should focus on Iranian food, like Persian food is very good. Stick to the food, because I don't think they're good in the missiles.
No.
And maybe they are good, but we were able, thank God, Hashem, Mashiach.
Mashiach energy, of course.
We were able to, but we were worried. And these missiles, Iron Dome, that was created in Israel, thanks to Hashem and the American government sponsoring it, saves people's lives every day. And I see that, and I picked one up, after October 7th, I said, I'm going to take one to America to show people what this is. This is just a tip. So when I went into El Al, of course, you know, they gave me a little problems. I said, come on, I need it for fundraising.
But they know who you are, El Al. No, yeah. It's not like you're Ellie Beer.
I said to them, but I need it for fundraising. Okay, take it.
That's amazing. Okay, obviously, the stories that you told during October 7th, what happened, were unbelievable, and the height of the awareness that I'm not saying it well. The you are always on super alert, like you're ready for the next
heightened alert,
right? Yeah. You're like, it could happen any second. All the ding ding dings, all the phones, all the machines will go off, and then how does that? I mean, how does that feel?
Well,
you seem calm.
I know.
That. Ellie. I've never seen Ellie get excited.
Like, what are you so relaxed about?
I would be freaking.
No, I tell you, I'm so involved with what I do, and I realize that being not calm doesn't help.
Yes.
So I could be in a worse situation. Think about Mehron tragedy. It was one of the worst tragedies that found United Hatzalah ever.
The what tragedy?
The Mehron, the big Mehron tragedy up north in Israel.
During
Lag
BaOmer, when they had the accident and everybody went to the grave of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and there was the infrastructure of the bleachers.
No, it was actually people were just it was a mob. It was a mob that they had an accident. Someone slipped, and then one guy above each other, 45 people died. And more, in like literally 25 seconds, they were gone. And we were there. Our volunteers were there, almost killed. And we were treating and saving lives and doing CPR and people, 400 people injured. And like, I was calm. I don't know why, but I was able to tell our forces how to do and what to do. And the helicopters, the whole idea of bringing helicopters there and getting people out of there because the jam, the traffic jam. And I realized Hashem really gave me some kind of a, you know, you got the good looks, I got the calmness. Looks. And I actually, the fact that I was able to manage, like really leadership of thousands of people under relaxation, I never get angry or.
No.
How many volunteers in Israel are there for Hatzalah?
7,000 now.
7,000.
And it's not enough.
And so, after you recruit everybody from Grindr, you'll probably have more. How many are you like managing at like any one crisis? Like what happens on October 7th? I imagine that you guys were immediately.
October 7th, it caught me at 6:45 in the morning when I woke up and I got phone calls. I thought in the beginning, they told us it was a cyber attack on United Hatzalah. That's what they thought because we got dozens of people calling and then hundreds of people calling and they couldn't even answer the phones. It was too many phone calls. They thought maybe it was just some kind of a cyber attack on our system. Like I usually have two or three phone calls waiting and within 2-3 seconds, 4 seconds, they answer the phone. If I see a call is not answered in 10 seconds, this is really not Hatzalah. Hatzalah is answering the phone immediately. 555 phone calls waiting.
Wow.
They thought it was a cyber attack and the missiles and everything. No one imagined that what's going on. So when I jumped into my car, it was like early in the morning, I was heading towards the headquarters of United Hatzalah. It was Shabbat morning. My wife said, Gitti said, I'm going down south because she knew missiles. I said, Gitti, this is dangerous. He might have he may have a few terrorists coming to Israel. A few. Meaning 2-3. And she said, I'm taking my gun with me. I'm wearing my bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
I'm going in. And then my daughter hears that. My daughter, Avigal, she's like, us a cowboy. How to call a cowgirl.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm taking my gun. I'm going down. I'm like, she's us a Hatzalah. And my son-in-law, and I said, who's going to watch the baby? They have 2 babies, 3 babies. So we had my 16-year-old daughter watch the kids. I have 4 grandchildren.
Yeah.
And they all ran to their cars to go to Shderot. I went to United Hatzalah's command center and we see what's going on. I realize we can't answer all these phone calls. I said, they have a shul next door, a Hasidim. They wake up early. Get them from the shul to come help us answer the phones, even if they don't know what to do.
Right.
Pikuach nefesh.
Yeah.
Because these are real emergencies. These are not cyber attacks.
Right.
And a bunch of Hasidim came to help us with the talis.
Really?
The talis. I thought it was Yom Kippur War again.
Wow.
And I was like, such a feeling, like these guys came from shul next door and they wrote down, because they didn't know how to use the computers, but they were on Shabbat writing down. And they were saying, they have a woman coming out of a house, going to the terrace, and she said that her address is so-and-so in a kibbutz. She hid her son in the wash machine.
Oh, my God.
Like, things like that. People so the hiding
Hasidim,
their kids.
The Hasidim from the shtibel next door came to the Hatzalah headquarters to help out. Wow. Mashiach energy.
That was unbelievable. Wow. Like, I was like, these people, they never touched a pen in their life on Shabbat. Never drove a car. Never answered a call. But they knew something's wrong. They need help.
Wow.
And they came helping us. And then we got our dispatchers to come immediately. Just to have a bunch of these dispatchers answering phone calls and hearing the story, a 9-year-old boy calling from a closet, hiding with his sister. She's 5 years old. They just saw their parents murdered in Kfar Aza. And they're hiding in a closet. And the boy, he's 9. He seems, he matured and we felt like he's like 25. And he says calmly, my sister Avigail, 3 years old, was also murdered. And we saw the terrorists in the house and they're outside of the house now, but they're in and out. What do we do? And they try calling the ambulance. They couldn't help them. Police couldn't help them. They call Hatzalah. What do? We can't get into Kfar Aza. But this is the geniuses of these volunteers of Hatzalah. They are unbelievable. This guy says, don't worry. We're going to help you. And he calls one of our psychotrauma volunteers, a psychologist specialist in children. Her name is Tamar. And he calls her up. She's up north next to Tzfat. And he says, Tamar, what are you doing? She's in a kibbutz. She says, I'm milking my goats. He says, well, you know, they have a war down south. She says, no. And he told her, I have 2 kids hiding in a closet, terrorists in their house. Could you help them? She took the phone, stopped doing everything she did, started treating the kids on the phone, psychologist. And if it wasn't for her, these kids would have been dead. They would have given up and gone out to the Hamas when they call. She was on the phone with them for 12 hours straight. And she went through them. She was crying with them. She was laughing with them. She was joking with them. She brought them back to reality. She made him go out to the kitchen to get another battery for the phone because the phone was down. And he had to go through. His parents were dead. And she told him, take a blanket and cover your parents to give them respect. And this little boy, 9 years old, says, where am I going to live now? Who am I going to live? She says, what are you kidding? You're going to be the hero of Israel. Ata Gibor, you're the Gibor of Israel. Everyone's going to want to adopt you. You're going to be the most wanted adopted kid in Israel.
Oh, my God.
And this is what we did October 7th, United Hatzalah. We had volunteers not only on the scene. Tamar saved these 2 little kids. And Avigail was kidnapped, not killed. The terrorists kidnapped Avigail. And 52 days later, she was released in the field.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
And now they're all 3 of them adopted by the aunt and uncle.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. We had a volunteer, our Arab volunteer of United Hatzalah, Awad. Awad was the first volunteer of United Hatzalah who ran to save people in the Nova Festival. And there were like dozens of injured people. And he went over to one of the young girls who were injured and he started treating her. And the terrorists came and everyone was running away. And the other volunteer said, Tivrach, Tivrach, hide. And he said, no, I'm not leaving her alone. I'm not leaving her alone. I'll protect her. And with his own body, he tried protecting her, talking Arabic to the terrorist. And he said, I'm an Arab. They didn't care. They shot him 25 times. Oh. Then they killed her, and Awad was killed. And Awad was one of our volunteers. He was an incredible human being. He was from Nazareth, Nazareth.
Nazareth.
His dream was always to be a doctor, and he couldn't make it. But he became a United Hatzalah volunteer, proud one. And in the Levaya, in the funeral, they had hundreds and hundreds of motorcycles of Hatzalah giving him respect. And one of the Jewish volunteers, an Orthodox Jew, went over to the grave when they buried him, and he said Kaddish over him. And this is a type of organization I'm so proud of. Like, we have the Jews and Arabs and Christians all working together. And even during the worst times of our lives, like October 7th, we still have hope because we have ourselves. We see the people next to us.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. And on top of that, you know, you also before the podcast began, you shared a video with us of an Israeli unit that was in Gaza fighting the Hamas across the street, and they were shooting each other, and then they blew up the section of the building where they were fighting, and civilians that were in the building where the terrorists were came out, and they went to the soldiers, and the soldiers were taking care of them and bandaged them and helped them and
gave them water.
And one of the soldiers had on his arm the unit he was with, and underneath that, the Mashiach emblem. And it was just like
it was a Besheret.
It was a Besheret. It's just Mashiach energy. It's chilling. It's just, I mean, and these are just a few stories. Day and night in Israel with what goes on.
Well, I have a book I gave you.
Well, that's right.
I know you told me you don't read so well, but this is easy reading. It says,
we read out loud to him.
The font is good and there's lots of pictures. So I'm in. I'm in.
I mean, I put it, it has even Nekudot.
Does it? Okay. The 90 seconds, the epic story of Eli Beer and United Hatzalah, Rabbi Nachum Seltzer, who's that? The guy who wrote it?
He wrote it. It's Art Scroll, actually, the bestseller of Art Scroll. And I never thought I'll ever write a book. You know, I could hardly read a book.
Same.
And he wrote the book about my life and about United Hatzalah. And it's just an incredible testimony that I was thrown out of every school, never did well in education, but I wanted to save one life. That was my dream. Being a little kid, when I was 6 years old, I was in Jerusalem. I saw a bus blow up in front of my eyes.
Wow.
And it was in Beit Vagan, next to Yad Vashem, right next to Yad Vashem. That's where I grew up. The first bus that ever blew up in Israel. It was a PLO explosion. And that's what led me towards what I'm doing today. I always said, I'm going to save people's lives. And when I went to Yad Vashem all the time, because it was my next door, I grew up there, and where else could I go? Right. They didn't have they had movie theaters. My parents didn't let me go. Too religious. And I had to go to Yad Vashem to see movies. And that was the movies I saw. And I said, if Hitler was able to kill so many people, one person killed millions and millions of people, 6 million Jews. I always said to my parents, my friends, one day I'm going to save 6 million Jews.
Yeah.
If he was able to kill, I'm going to be able to save. And it's not me. It's thousands of volunteers. And since we started, we didn't get to save 6 million yet, but we got to treat 6.5 million people.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. You donate a lot of people to do something big.
Yeah.
Good or bad. Look, it took only a few people for 9/11. It took 11 terrorists to do 9/11. It took, Hitler to do 6 million, and it takes Eli Beer to create something that's as amazing as United Hatzalah.
And a person, you know, like a person really has to decide in his life, in her life, what's their destiny in life? What do they want to do? They have three choices. You could be a bad person, join a bad gang, right? And just do bad things, robbing, shooting, and... Or join the most of the world, do nothing, don't care. You see someone injured in the street, just pass by. You see someone need money, pass by. Or join the good people, the people who care and do good. And I'm proud, I'm part of them. And every time I join one volunteer, I feel proud. Another person joining our club, the good club, you know, the people who care.
The big problem is, we've had on the podcast, especially now this past few podcasts, people who join an organization think that they're doing well, and they're really not. We had somebody on who was an extreme Muslim who now is all the pro-Israel, and even though he's still a Muslim, he's pro-Israel, and he understood that the way he was brought up to understand what jihad is and all of that was wrong. So he went in there thinking we have to kill Jews, thinking that was a good thing. You know, and then we had somebody on the podcast recently that just said that even though he's Arab, he's a Christian Arab that's living in Haifa, he is an Israeli, and he's going to schools and campuses where the kids are telling him that the Arabs in Haifa are segregated. They can't go to the same movie theaters. They can't take buses. They can't. The kids in the colleges are telling him.
White kids who have never been to Israel. Are telling him what Haifa, where he lives as a gay.
Look, people who do bad always looks for excuses to show they're not doing it.
Right.
Like these evil Hamas people, I'm sure they have a million justifications for what they're doing.
Right.
God told us, Muhammad gave us in his will to kill the Jews, and many other reasons. So they think they're doing good. We know that they're doing very, very bad. And I think it's really looking, when most of the people, when they pass in the street, they see someone injured in an accident and they could help, they justify the fact that they don't help. They say, I'm in a rush. I have a job and I can't lose my job and I have children. And then what about myself? What about that? People find excuses for all their bad things they do. And we should always find excuses. Like this guy that you said, it was a bad person. He was doing bad and it educated to hate Jews. There is no justification to hate anyone.
Right.
I, as a Jew, I never grew up hating anyone.
Right.
Not a Muslim, not a Christian. My father and mother never told me, Ellie, when you grow up, you should know you have to hate black people. We never grew up like that.
Right.
And this is, if someone teaches you, if your children grow up learning how to hate, you know you're growing up in the wrong environment. Yeah. Do not grow up anywhere hating, no matter who. I never hated anyone.
Yeah.
You know, when you have kids, you say, always look for the helpers. Right? Like if something bad is happening or like you feel like, you know, you lost your parents somewhere, you get lost, like you always look for the helpers. I think it's like a Mr. Rogers thing. But it's an incredible thing to be a helper, right? So if somebody else is looking for a helper, then you have to be the helper.
Yeah.
Innately, in Jewish text, innately it says that the neshama is built for helping.
Well, you always say that. You say that the first thing that you're supposed to do when a Jew meets another Jew is to ask,
how can we help somebody else?
Yeah.
I opened up your book and it's just so funny that I opened up and it opened up to here like this, a lesson from the Rebbe. From the Rebbe, which he always said, you know, help somebody else and bracha beslacha will come to you. Blessings and success will come to you. That's what that dollar was, you know. And
he gave you a dollar to do good.
Yes, and to help somebody.
To help somebody. And I remember seeing this story about the Rebbe once when he passed away, this black, he was older, he said, a black man that lived in what's it, Crown Heights?
Crown Heights.
And he said when he was a little kid, he was fighting with his friends. They had a whole big fight. Him and his friends, they were just fighting, fist fighting. The Rebbe, they didn't know who it was. And a Jewish guy comes by and he says, kids, you should not fight. You should find ways how to play with each other. And he give each one a dollar. These are black kids in the neighborhood. And he never forgot it. Like that little act. And he said, do something good with the dollar.
Right.
And that's the beauty of this. And I always said, I give people opportunities.
Yeah.
When I join in an Arab volunteer who's not like me, I grew up Jewish. I am Jewish. And I bring someone not like me. I feel so proud. This is a Jewish thing. And I can tell you one thing. We helped millions of people who are not Jewish. We went to Ukraine. And in Ukraine, we were helping a lot of people run away from the war in Russia and Ukraine during the Ukraine war. And we helped a lot of people. And someone said to me, Ellie, why are you helping these people? They're not Jewish. And I said, I'm not helping them because they're Jewish. I'm helping them because I am Jewish.
Wow.
And I think this is our motto. Like Mashiach time, like you always say, this is tikkun olam. This is really v'ahavta l'recha kamocha.
Yep.
If you would be laying there on the street and you need help, you would like someone else to help you, right? That's what you should do to others. Don't expect others to do to you if you don't do that for others. This is the essence of the Torah. And I'm doing this because I really believe that if we get more and more and more people to do good, and not only join Atzela, but do anything, so many great things. Just
say it blatantly. Listen, when you, the energy, it's energy. You're helping. It's a helping energy. You need energy to make that happen. And money is energy. Money is energy, and Hatzala needs money. It needs, and you're giving up people who are sitting in Manhattan today in a board meetings of what you're going to meet with them and tell them, help us, help others.
By the way, I'll never forget a story talking about money. Because I raised a couple of dollars and shekels in my lifetime, but I had Modi in L.A. and we had a great time in L.A. Beautiful building, the 10,000. Yeah. And this guy that I tried to get to for years. Sometimes people don't want to see me. You know, like L.A. Beer, keep him away, like block. And I'm trying to get to this guy, and all of a sudden he shows up for Modi. Modi, they come. Me, they don't come. And they probably thought I'm not going to be there. That's why he came. This guy comes. I never saw him face to face. And after you did your gig, and he was so funny, like you always are. And he's like, this guy comes over to me. He says, and I didn't know who he was. The funny thing, because I didn't know, I never met him. He says, wow, it's such a good show. What do you want from me? So what do you do then? Like, I didn't prepare. I didn't know what to, what should I ask him for a defibrillator for $2,500, for a motorcycle, $36,000, or $1 million for a building? I don't know. So I said, I take a chance. I said, you know what? I would love $120,000 from you. And he says, okay, I'll send it. And I said, who is this guy? And it's all because he came to the show.
Yeah.
And you opened him up. The fact that you come, and I always say, having people like you in a serious organization like United Hatzalah, it's all about going into terror zones and war zones and heart attacks and strokes. What is a comedian like Modi?
Like a fluffer.
You open up their neshama.
Yes. Okay.
You really open them up to realize oh, you know what? They're serious in their business. They're running billions of dollars in their business. And all of a sudden, a guy, Modi, makes them laugh.
Right.
Making laugh in Judaism is really opening yourself to Hashem.
Yeah.
That's the Hasidic way. And I really think this is many times. This wasn't the only time that it happened. I saw it in other shows that you had. I had you, and I'm sure every organization enjoys the fact that you talk. And you open them up, and then it's easier for me to do the job.
Right.
Did you feel like you should have asked him for more?
Yes, definitely. I was like, did I just do a mistake?
No, you had a relationship. Yeah, listen, yeah. comedy buffers that. And here's Modi. I'm following Ellie Beers. Ellie Beers is like the top of the "and here's Modi" pre-show when he comes up. Then
this lady lost her fingers, and then her eye flew out, and her stomach opened up.
And here's Modi. Okay, that's a really beautiful story. You always say that, right?
It was one of these shows that was, it took place. Listen, there's theaters. We did two theaters in Israel together. But there's backyard. Tila Falik, my parents' backyard. Boom, microphone, dinner, da-da. Just do it. Sometimes it just happens, you know. I'm kind of avoiding those lately, but.
No, I can tell you the fact that you were making fun of Hatzalah many times. Actually, people said, they never heard of Hatzalah until you started making fun of Hatzalah.
Yes.
That's amazing. And it was
in my special, in my comedy special that's out now, Know Your Audience, I address Hatzalah. And obviously it's the American Hatzalah, which is completely different from the Israeli Hatzalah.
We have less keychains.
Visually, the ambulances here are the size of houses. Mm-hmm. Over there, they're on skateboards, and everyone there is all trim and da da da. Hatzalah guys here look like they all just came from a brunch. they look full. Not all. You guys know I'm kidding.
90%.
But they're
good people.
You have to talk about it. You have to mention it. You can't just
But it's funny because when you say that, oh, they had a call, 12 guys showed up, 2 guys are treating, the rest are estimating the value of the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, it sounds familiar, I was in that situation many times. Come to a person, he's feeling better. So you start schmoozing about, I see you just renovated your home, who did you use?
Yeah.
I have a good plumber for you.
It's somebody from your neighborhood. Right. It's somebody from your neighborhood that comes in. Yes, your grandmother fell, or God forbid someone's having a heart attack. Okay, it's like eight guys show up. You can't have eight guys working on one person.
Right.
So the others are just hanging out, but they know you. How's your daughter? How's that this? I know you're someone in Muncie just got married that you know. And
so I'll tell you something funny. So I have a story in this book. It's called Married by Accident. And what happened was we had a call in the highway in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and a car is flipped over at 2 o'clock in the morning. One of our volunteers, Sharon Slater, gets there. She's treating with another young guy, like 22-year-old guy. They're working together, getting the guy out, saving him, and blah, blah, blah. A lot of blood, ambulances show up, police. After that, you know, the guy's, okay, we have to like know each other. They said, so who are you? Who are you? I'm from yeshiva and study. I volunteer in Yad Tzela, but I'm in Israel from Brazil. And she says to him, oh, you know, are you dating anyone? He says, no, I'm not dating. He says, you know, my sister could be a great date for you. And the next day he was dating her sister, and they got married and they have a bunch of kids now. It's like these are the things that happen in Hatzalah. You know, you go save someone, you come back with a shidduch.
Exactly.
Listen, like, just because you have to be somewhere. Number one, I just want to tell you that usually Moody's not so involved with picking the guest and this. And Leo and I are like, maybe this person, maybe this person. Moody was like, Eli, we have to get Ellie. Like that was, you're like, this is going to be.
In the Jewish world, this is one of the pillars.
Yeah.
This is one of the pillars of the Jewish world.
And the other thing is, before we go, can you tell us about the two volunteers who were taken hostage? You gave me this beautiful bring them home tag that we're all hoping to be able to
It's so hard for me and for every one of us to think that we still have 133 hostages. Who knows how many of them are alive? Many of them are women. And we have two volunteers that are hostages now. One of them is Bar Cooperstein, who you're wearing his tag, 21-year-old boy. His father volunteered for us, and on the way to save lives, his father was injured and lost his ability to walk. He was on the motorcycle. He was injured on the way to save a 4-year-old boy, a girl choking. Tal is now 100% on a wheelchair, can't move. His son decided he wants to be a lifesaver too. He's in the army. He went through training. And he was there October 7th helping saving people. He was kidnapped. Bar Cooperstein. We're still waiting for him to return. Second one is Dolev Yehud, who told his wife, I'll be back soon. He lived right next to the Bibas family, which is the kids with the redhead, and next door. And he ran out to save people, maybe the Bibas, who knows? And he said, don't leave the bomb shelter. She had three kids. His wife was pregnant. He never came back. We actually saw his walkie-talkie in Khan Yunis, and he was kidnapped there, and his sister and him were kidnapped. Dolev had a baby a week and a half after he was kidnapped, a baby girl. And these are the volunteers who put their life. We had eight volunteers that were killed till now. 25 were injured and two were kidnapped, and it's every one of them is a world by itself. And for us, for me, it's hard. So I gave you this little... just to think about our volunteers, and hopefully Bezrat Hashem, maybe we'll bring them on the show one day.
Amen. That's what it's whenever anybody asks me, who's your dream guest? I said, bring me any one of the hostages.
Bezrat
Hashem. Let my people go. Let my people know how to help you. What's the number one way to send you energy, send you money, send you their love? What's the website to donate to?
It's easy. It's israelrescue.org.
Israelrescue.org.
Because Hatzela means rescue, save. And the problem is a lot of people think we're Hezbollah, and people end up sending the money to Hezbollah because Hatzela, Hezbollah is almost the same. So we actually put our website.
Is that one of your bits?
I had people donate money to us. $18,000 check from a lady in Oklahoma.
And she wrote Hezbollah.
And she wrote Friends of Hezbollah. American Hezbollah. So we actually have a website called israelrescue.org.
Israelrescue.org. Wow. Oh my God. That's so funny. IsraelRescue.org. Help! You're sitting in your home. You're watching the news. You're freaking out on your phone. You want to do something? That's it. Send 180,000 to United Hatzalah. You heard on this podcast what that goes.
I would love to have an ambucycle or an ambulance. You know, we have an ambulance. We could put a million names or one name. So, you know, like that joke.
Yeah, that joke.
I would like to have a Modi ambulance and with your picture on it. So we could have a lot of people to donate towards an ambulance in Israel, saving lives with Modi in honor of Modi. How much is an ambulance?
That's a great idea.
It's only $225,000.
Only.
Or a motorcycle, $36,000.
That is a great idea. Yeah. Donate in honor of Modi.
We'll have a link. I'll put a link together. Okay. I promise you we'll raise the money right away for an ambicycle or—
Put the link up. We'll do it.
I'll put the link.
Put the link
and
up.
And we'll dedicate it when you're in Israel on your next show.
Okay. June, which will be July 16th. Yes.
July 16th. That's amazing.
I'll be there. A fleet of motorcycles.
It's a little chicer than an ambulance.
No, but it's also, how much is a motorcycle?
$36,000.
No, it's nothing.
Fully loaded.
It's nothing.
For somebody.
We have a picture on you.
Rothschild, I'm doing a podcast with.
Rothschild is a building.
The Modi Hospital. Yes!
I love this. A fleet of Modi motorcycles.
We're
going to
start with the motorcycle.
Modi motorcycles.
So put that up and we'll tell people to send money to it. Right.
I have one request. No. I want a jacket out of this.
All right.
They've got merch, Kenai Nahara.
We're going to get you jackets. We have socks. We have T-shirts.
They have socks. The guys, the volunteers had the socks. It's so important. It gives them a sense of community.
We have underwear. No.
Oh my God.
And they have, but that phone that they have, which tells them where everything's happening, it's unbelievable. It's fully machine.
All right, we have a jacket for you and a Modi ambucycle.
Fleet of motorcycles. Jeremy is about to have a heart attack if we don't get him out of here.
Okay. And I am at ModiLive.com. By now, the special is on YouTube. Know your audience. Make sure you see it, find someone who can't get to it. Millennials, one of your missions in life is to help people who are not tech savvy. Make sure your grandparents, your parents, whoever needs to see the special sees the special. Know your audience. It should be on YouTube by now. Tickets for shows. We've just announced Australia. We're probably adding more shows there. Yerushalayim, July 16th, and London, and many more shows. ModiLive.com.
I'm at Periel on Instagram.
And that's it. And Ellie Beer at
IsraelRescue.org.
IsraelRescue.org.
You can find me actually in my social media. Maybe I got two more likes. It's Ellie_Beer.
B-E-R.
B-E-R.
At Ellie Beer.
At Ellie Beer. Yeah.
No, it's at Ellie Beer. I don't know. What is my Instagram? I have no idea how to. You know these things.
I don't know your Instagram.
Right.
Eli underscore Beer, and say hi to him and tell him how amazing he is and that you enjoyed him on the podcast. Thank you all very much. Thank you to our sponsors, A&H Provisions, and also Whites and Luxembourg. Thank you all for making this happen.